Well, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. In our gospel lesson for today, your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, comes to show you three things. His compassion, his divinity, and a picture. A picture of how he, in his compassion and divinity, is now teaching you to hear and to speak, opening your ears so that you can hear his word and loosing your tongue so that you can praise God and proclaim him to others. Now, Mark's gospel is the shortest and in many ways most blunt of all of the gospels, and yet it is filled with so much nuance and symbolism that it is practically bursting at the seams. But a lot of that background for today's lesson came up 5 Sundays ago when we heard the story of the feeding of the 4,000. This is part of that same narrative arc that I mentioned there, right? In that arc, we see Jesus intentionally going into Gentile territories or heavily mixed territories, and we see the people there responding faithfully to the word. And this is pointing at God being God for all people, right? That he has a special relationship with the descendants of Abraham, yes, but that he is God for all, and that all means all, not just the people for whom we think he ought to be God, so to speak. And that same territorial point is worth noting here, too, contextually. Where are we at? Well, we are in the region of the Decapolis, the 10 cities, largely Gentile or at least heavily mixed territory, a territory that should come with a first century equivalent of a trigger warning for any strict observant Jewish people. Now, in Mark's gospel, this is the second time that Jesus has been to the region of the Decapolis. The first trip was back in Mark chapter 5. It was the healing of the Gerasene demoniac, the guy that was living out amongst the tombs and breaking chains and cutting himself with stones. You guys remember this story? Yeah, right? And do you remember what happened after Jesus cast out that man's demons after they had entered the herd of pigs? 2 things. First, the people of the region asked Jesus to leave. Turns out if you're a pig farmer, Jesus is bad for business. Second, the man whom he healed wanted to come with him, right? But Jesus didn't let him, remember? Instead, what does he do? He tells him to go home, and pay attention to this, this is one of Mark's little nuances here. He tells him to go home and tell everybody what the Lord has done for you. And what's the man go and do? He goes home and tells everybody what Jesus has done for him. Mark is surprisingly subtle like that sometimes, unlike, say, John, who's just up in your face about it, right? Mark will say, and Jesus did this, and he did that, and oh, by the way, he's God, right? Either way, the man went home, and now when Jesus shows up at the Decapolis, now everybody's coming out to meet him. The word has spread, right? The first time, they asked him, you know, well, insisted, get out of here, right? But now, the second time, they're all coming out, right? It's a welcoming committee. We are so happy to have you here, Jesus, right? The word is spread from that man being sent home. So, that's all part of this arc. And that arc culminates, if you remember, at the sort of central turning point of Mark's gospel, where Peter confesses that Jesus is the Christ, and then Jesus tells them all what that's going to mean. What's it going to look like? It is going to be a cross and a resurrection, right? A death for the sins of the whole world and a resurrection for the justification of all who believe in him. Now, I've spent a lot of time already rehashing that sermon from 5 weeks ago, and I don't want to rehash the whole thing today, but I do want to bring one last thing forward from that sermon, one thing that kind of pertains to this lesson, namely this. As I said then, whenever you read in the Gospels one of the miracle stories, you always want to keep in mind Jesus didn't have to do it that way. Whatever way he did it, it didn't have to be done that way. And that's worth remembering, especially when you've got a healing miracle like this one, one that appears to us to be, frankly, unhygienic. Jesus didn't have to do it that way. He didn't have to stick his fingers in the man's ears. He did not have to put spittle on the man's tongue. So it must mean something that he did. Now, as I said in this lesson, your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ comes to show you three things, right? His compassion, his divinity, and a picture. Now, as regards his compassion, what you need to know is this. Jesus cares. As simple as that. Jesus cares. We see this in Mark's account here, in that just before all of this happened, he had just tried to get away privately with his disciples for some rest twice. Twice he had tried to catch a breather somewhere, and both times he got swamped with people needing something. I imagine most of you, especially parents, can relate to Jesus at this point, right? But what does he do? Does he send them away? Does he tell the friends of the deaf man, you know what, I really just can't right now, I am too worn out, maybe try back tomorrow? There certainly wouldn't have been anything wrong with it if he had done that. But Jesus cares. He cared then, and he cares now. He isn't just off in heaven, idly passing by the time, right? He cares about you. He sees what's going on with you. He has compassion. Do you think he cares less for you than he did for this deaf and mute man whom he had never met in the flesh before? Sometimes we might be tempted into just such unbelief, into thinking that we are either absent from or at least not much of a blip on our Lord's radar. But no, he cares for you. He is paying attention. The Father knows the number of hairs upon your head, for crying out loud. And as you've often heard me joke already, only after just a year, he knows how many hairs were on your head before, too, and he knows how many hairs will be on your head later. He knows. He's paying attention. He cares. He cares for you, for whom he died, for whom he was raised from the grave. Now, the next thing you might be tempted to say is, so what? Who cares that he cares? What good has that ever done me? What does it matter that he cares? Well, it matters because of the second thing he came to show you in this gospel lesson for today. It matters because he is God. Jesus Christ is the second person of the Trinity, God the Son. And this God who formed man out of the dust, who breathed life into him, and he became a living soul, we see here again shaping things, so to speak, with his hands. Putting back together with his own two hands something of his broken creation. He cares for you, and it matters because he is God. He will help you in this life. But not only will he help you in this life, more importantly, he will raise you from the dead. You might get sick of me hearing this. It won't change anything, but you might get sick of it. But death won't get the last word over you, nor over any who belong to Christ. Death doesn't win. Jesus does. God wins. God in his love wins. God who is life wins. Even still, after all the terrible things you may have experienced, may yet still see, nevertheless, God will win. He will raise you from the dead. And somehow, though it is impossible now to conceive, the glory of that day will by far outweigh the trials of this one. Somehow, God will reshape and breathe new life, new and eternal life, into all the brokenness and futility and tragedy and insensibility of this old world. He will raise you from the dead. He cares, and He is God. He will help you in this life, and He will raise you to new life. And so, as pictured here, He keeps putting Himself into your ears, as it were, so that you will finally hear and trust Him. He says, "Be opened." Now, only Jesus can speak to deaf ears as if they are hearing ears, and lo and behold, they become hearing ears. The word which the Father spoke, saying, "Let there be light," and behold, there was light, says, "Be opened," and behold, they are opened. He keeps putting Himself in your ears so that you might finally hear and trust Him. He loosens your tongue so that you can praise the Lord and proclaim to others what the Lord has done for you. You've heard me make this joke before, too, but too often we act like our Lord's instructions here in the lesson to keep this quiet and not tell anybody. We too often act like those instructions are still in effect. It's not anymore. It's okay. You can go tell people about Jesus now, right? Proclaim the Lord. Proclaim the Lord and all that He has done for you. This Lord who cares for you. He has redeemed you from all sin. He will raise you from the dead. He has done all things well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. And in all of this, may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus your Lord. Amen.